Welcome to the Africa Speaking Podcast. The podcast discusses critical issues about the African continent. It is brought to you by Teresa Communications in Nairobi.
Welcome to Arousing Approach of Faith in Action for a Sustainable Future. Welcome to this episode. I am your host, Marceline Nyambala, and today we are joined by Pauline Mwangi, the Deputy Chief Executive Officer of Mwangaza Light. We will be learning how this innovative social enterprise is collaborating with churches and mosques to bring sustainable clean cooking solutions to community while fostering crucial climate action. Let's explore this illuminating partnership. Thank you for availing yourself for this very important conversation. Tell us about your name and the organization you represent.
Thank you so much, Marceline. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Pauline Mwangi, and I work for Mwangaza Light, an organization based in Kenya, but has its roots in working in different counties in the country. So Mwangaza Light was founded in 2014, but we've been actively since 2018. And what we do is working with churches, and that also builds on us being a faith-based social enterprise. So we work with churches to push for energy access, gender equality, and climate action. And emphasizing on the climate action,
yeah.
I believe that's why we are here, to have this conversation and just to share what we have been able to achieve over the years.
Thank you. Tell us about the journey supporting communities and families access clean cooking. And you're talking about also gender equality.
Our journey, how it began, was with a vision to eradicate energy poverty. And when I talk about now energy poverty, it's where we as a people, we don't realize that the energy related issues can contribute to us not having the resources or the money. And through that, the founders did come up with a framework. We call it Green Churches. And these Green Churches, where we get to work with the churches in their structure to push for climate action. How we do work with the churches is we'll come in and blend in their structure. We don't come with a structure. We come to work with them in their structure. And then we do have three areas that we focus when you're working with the churches. One is preaching green. We work with the churches to go green and also growing green. So those are the three focus areas. And through these focus areas, the preaching green, we have a training that we do offer to the clergy or people who are doing the preaching in the churches called ecotheology. And this is where we do a relation of the Bible and the environment, because in most cases, you'll find, like, when you go to churches, we are more spiritually fed. And now we also want the churches to be stewards and preach green as well. So preaching green, they are taught, they are taken through a training. And this training has references to the Bible, which verses in the Bible can enable the clergy to talk about the environment. So that also they're able to have a backup when they are talking green. What are they referring to? So we train the clergy. We also train the leaders of the church. Now and then we also do work now with the same church to their policies. Do they have an environmental policy to give them backing to them pushing for the climate action? Then when you talk about going green is now on the adoption. This is where we push for clean cooking. Have other solutions that we do introduce to the church as an institution, and then also to the members during the inception of the organization. When just the founder was just trying to explore how to work with the churches, there was the realization that most of the churches were using either a generator as a backup when there is no electricity, or in some incidences when the church is going for the outdoor preaching, they need a generator that is something portable for them to go and preach. You would see churches had those big speakers that when they have a crusade, for example, at least it's able to get the word to many people. So then those also, they are very loud. That is number one. And then also the generators, what they're using then is not clean. So through that, the churches said they would want to preach gospel when they don't have to pollute as well. So through that, there was development of a PA that is portable. So that solar-powered PA is now what goes to the church, is a congregation. So there is the eco-theology training. There is a solution that enables the churches to preach. Then now to the households, the members of that church, is now we have trained them. What are you going to offer as a solution to them taking the climate action? We're telling people, don't cut down trees. What solutions are you giving? So now that's why we say going green. We have solutions. We do have clean cooking solutions. Now we are also a bit bigger now in electric cooking. And then we also have this solar home system. Those are for lighting. So that covers the members of the church to what they can adopt to as part of their climate action. And then also then growing green, that's where the tree growing part of it comes in. So the three focus areas when we are working with the churches. Yeah.
Amazing. So in terms of these solutions that you're offering the churches,
sure.
What are the prices like? And when you're talking about clean cooking,
yeah. What
are you having and what are the prices?
So when you talk about clean cooking, it's not using biomass fuel, like something that is harmful to your health. So we do introduce tier 3 and above solutions.
Yeah.
And these include, there is a biomass stove. We have those stoves and they use like 50% less charcoal. They don't emit the carbon. We have three types. There's one that cost around 7,000, but you also have some that cost for 3,000 for 990. And that is on cooking using biomass. We also have electric cooking. We have electric pressure cookers. We have induction cookers. That for the electric pressure cooker, we sell them between 10,000 to 12,000. And we have induction cooker. That is our newest child. That is going for between 28,000 to 32,000. But in what way I say between, because we have different payment solutions. So depending on what you take, then for the solar home systems, the price ranges between 12,000 to 25,000, depending. Yeah, it all depends with the different types.
And what is the capacity of the lighting or the use utility in the home?
It's only for lighting.
How many rooms?
You can get 3 bulbs, you can get 4 bulbs maximum.
Oh,
yeah, so you're able to use it. Yeah, three to four. You're able to use it for different rooms.
So maybe kitchen.
Yeah, kitchen, sitting
room,
bathroom.
A bathroom.
Yes. Yes, so the PA, the one for now for the churches, but we also see us, we do sell also to groups. You know, some chamas, some women have come together to form chamas or even men, and then they can use it for as an income generating. So we have it ranging between 72,000 to 100,000. Our target market, most of the time, it's those people that don't have access to either LPG or electricity. And most of the time, those are in the rural areas. About 90% of people in the rural areas are using non-clean solutions. So that's why we give the lipam dogom dogo. That's why you pay slowly over a period of time.
What is the duration or more? On average?
3 months to a year.
3 months to a year.
And even some more than a year. Like now for the public address system, we can give you an option to pay in 6 months, to pay in 12 months, to pay in 24 months. And then also we do assess the capacity of them to pay. Okay. Yeah. Because not all churches are equal.
When you're talking about the backup, is the backup the same solar system for the house or what is the backup?
You know that some churches will just use it as the main public address system.
Yeah.
But there are those that buy because they want to use it as a backup, either when they are going to do crusades.
Oh.
Yeah. Or when there's no electricity and you still need to continue preaching because it's a public address system that has two mics to support a piano and a guitar. So your service does not stop.
You also mentioned earlier that you're also working with mosques.
Yes, we are. We have a project that we are now working in Kakuma that has gotten to introduce us to working with the Muslim community as well.
Okay.
Yes, we have the Christians and now we have the Muslims. So.
And so far, what would you say has been your achievement? How far have you gone and how many families? Maybe you can tell us.
Mm.
And even the response.
Mm.
So how are people accessing?
Mm.
Yes.
So far, we've been able to reach more than 70,000 households.
Wow.
Which I think is a pretty good thing to be happy about.
Yeah.
Because then it means, of course, those are the ones that we have impacted directly. Then, of course, there are those that are impacted indirectly.
Yeah.
And our solutions, be it it's coming in form of a training of the clergy.
Yeah.
Be it it's coming in terms of a product that we are introducing to this community and people are starting to use.
Mm.
I think that's an impact to be able to push us to get to keep going more and beyond. Let me use an example of the clean cook stores. I love talking about the clean cooking because it's something that is close to most of us because we all cook at some point. And sometimes when you're cooking, you're not maybe keen on whatever I'm using. Is it a solution that is harmful to the environment or harmful to my health? Or how is it impacting me?
Yeah.
So the clean cook stoves, one that is the cutting down of trees. That is number one. Because you see, if they're using charcoal or you're using firewood, you're just cutting down trees somewhere. Yeah. So the cook stoves, they are impacting a lot of people. And I think that is the one of the products that we've been able to push to very many households. And we know how much firewood is a harm to most of us, like to all of us, actually. So firewood is harmful to our health. The way you keep inhaling the smoke, you've just been coughing because it's going to your lungs. Your eyes are tearing because you've been, like, it's just a menace. So us being able to promote clean cooking, it's a beautiful thing. And now in our country, there's a big push on clean cooking and even electric cooking. So everyone now is able to afford this product. As much as the initial cost is expensive, also depending on the people that you're targeting, the long run benefits is there. And we hope that now as we continue even as a country, able to push for more clean cooking, electric cooking. Yeah.
And how many counties have you been able to reach? And maybe you tell us, are you in Nakuru County?
Initially, we were almost in all the counties, but it was not the easiest. Like when you're trying to get those products to the very rural areas, it's a very expensive mode of working. So we did narrow down to, we are now only in a few counties. We're in Nairobi County. We are in now Turkana. We are in Elgeyo Marakwet. We are in the coast region and we are in Murang'a. We were in Nakuru until last year, about 2024 in May. We had a project and we are promoting clean cook stoves. We did install to about 10,000 households in Nakuru, a funded project, but it came to an end last year. And it's an area that we'd also want to go back and continue working in.
Which churches, which religious institutions?
Mm-hmm.
Have you worked with, or are you working with?
The Anglican Church, mostly. In other counties, for example, in Elgeyo Marakwet, we're working with the AIC, we're working with the Redeemed Church. When we go to Murang'a County, we are working with Anglicans, but we're still working with Catholics. When you come to Nairobi, we have a Church of God. We are working now, we are working with Faith Evangelical. It depends with the county.
And if another church just listens to this?
Yeah.
Are you open to
just reach out to us? As long as there is a will to take action, of course, we are open and we'll work with the churches.
Can you say that you've contributed to saving forests? Can you say that communities have conserved trees and are healthier because of your work?
And I would say that with a lot of confidence. And this is because the project that I said we were implementing in Nakuru, we had it in Nakuru County and in Murang'a County. And we were installing two cook stoves, tier three cook stove. That's what
when you say tier three,
mean, it is not the most efficient, but it's better than the three stone. Yeah. So that cook stove, the rocket cook stove, we were installing it because we wanted to replace the three stone fireplace. How it works, it reduces the consumption of the firewood by 50%. So you can imagine if you then were reducing by 50%. Of course, now those are trees that has not been cut.
Was it households or institutions?
Household level.
Households.
Yes. Yeah. And each household used to get two cook stoves. And you are targeting households that use firewood primarily so that they're able then to use it every day as their main source of cooking. If then that's saving seven trees
over
in an year.
Oh.
In an year. If you look at the charcoal cook stoves, they use less charcoal. Then less charcoal means less trees being cut. With a lot of confidence, I say, yes, we have saved a lot of trees.
Looking at your work in clean cooking, saving forest, working with the church, is there something you can look and say, this is a best practice that I've noted in our work?
And what comes to my mind is the work that we do involves a lot of behavior change, things that we have learned to do over the years, these things that have been inherited from our grandparents. So the best practice when it comes to behavior change is we have learned to be very patient with our community because you're bringing something that is almost foreign. It takes time for you to change a culture that has been there for a long time. Learning how to understand people and their culture and how that has influenced their way of doing things. We have been taught to be very patient with them, to do more trainings, never get tired of doing trainings, train and retrain and train again.
What is the response when you go to the churches and say, look at the Bible?
Yeah.
This is a verse.
It's like an awakening, you know, something that you've never paid attention to, but it's there. And you've not paid attention to it because you didn't want to. It's because probably you're not aware. You can look at it from that angle. Every clergy that has been trained is always appreciative of, oh, thank you that you've brought this kind of training to us. And it also has seen more of them now taking more action and saying, I am going to preach about it. I'm going to preach about don't cut down the trees. And then when you say don't do this, then do this. And most clergy that we go to, they are happy about it. And they are able to have also confidence because you're telling, you know, you're not just coming to tell them preach, preach, preach. You also give them the reference materials to look at, which I think is pretty cool. So
is there a verse, without going to the specifics, that is maybe Genesis or what? Is that something you can think of?
Environment begins in Genesis.
It's big in Genesis, eh?
Begins in Genesis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other lessons learned?
So lesson learned working with the church is you have to package your story in a manner that is understandable to church without now making it look like it's commercialized. Yes, there's a buying aspect of it, but is that what we want people to do? We want people to adopt to these solutions that you're bringing to them.
Okay.
So another thing is church is very influential and powerful. So I think in our country, we have many, many people going to churches and we have very many churches. And people do follow these churches. So I think church is a strong tool that we can use when you want to change people's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And when the leaders, even the leaders in the church, when they lead by example, when they take action, when they become the champions, then it's easier to bring the change.
Are there some things that you've noticed?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe gender issues, mm-hmm. age issues, as you engage mm-hmm. with the church leadership
mm-hmm.
and say, this is the message we have.
Mm-hmm.
These are the products we have.
Mm-hmm.
Are there gender issues that play out?
Yeah. I think the work that we do, we can categorize it in two aspects. The eco-theology part, the training part of it, that it's open to all, to men, to male and female. But now when it comes to the solution part of it, the going green part of it, it's mostly seen as a woman thing. thing, because women are those that are in the home. We have seen now men are also aware that our mothers and our women are not using the best cooking solutions. Men are also coming up.
Yes.
We have even seen men who are getting these products for their wives.
Okay.
So that is a very good thing that is happening.
Mm.
And when it comes to the age, the youth are yet to pick up. Probably need just to get a different approach to it. But the elderly are embracing it faster. 40s, 40 and above.
14
and above. The young mothers and the young wives, they are coming up. Yeah. They're coming up, but the 14 above.
Okay.
Yeah, they adopt them faster. And especially, those are in 50s actually. They adopt them so fast.
50s, adopt so them very fast. What are your next steps as your organization enabling? What do you think could be the next steps?
As an organization, I think we have worked mostly with the household at the household level. And then number two is changing the institution ways of cooking. And the institution, let me use an example of an Anglican or Catholic church. As an institution, they have either schools that they sponsor or schools that they have founded. And also they have hospitals, they have guest houses. So those institutions, they do consume a lot of firewood. And at least now there is products that you can also introduce to them that are very efficient and works much better is compared to what they currently use. We find most of the school, maybe they're using 3-stone fireplaces or they are using the boilers but they're still not efficient. And you can imagine in Kenya, we have approximately 40,000 schools, be it church sponsored or sponsored. So all these institutions, they cook maybe 3 meals in a day, if it's a day school or a boarding school. And they have to use a lot of firewood, and approximately 64 to 164 tons of firewood in a year. So what can we do with these churches? Be honest, take climate action, and then we leave it at a household. Yet we have so many other institutions under these same churches. So now we have solutions for them that we are, at least we are now starting to pilot them. So in the next years, now we want to focus and work more with the churches and institution, and also the institutions in those structures.
So you have a big boiler?
To have boilers, big boilers.
Big boilers, you have these big sufurias, yes, the way they cook a big galley.
Yes.
You now have, which solutions are these?
So we have still efficient firewood. More efficient firewood. And a boiler, we have 80 liters, 200 liters and 400 liters. And now what you're testing, although you're still in the pilot phase, it's one that has an inverter that either so electric or solar.
So you're saying more efficient firewood cooking.
Those are there.
Okay.
Those are there.
Okay.
And the efficiency comes in. They have the insulator. We hope by next year we're able to see the electric one also coming up.
I think in many churches, there's cooking after service.
Yeah.
And most of them use charcoal.
Yes. Or firewood.
Yeah, firewood. Yeah. They cook tea.
Yeah.
Many churches cook for the Sunday school. Tea and mandazis.
Yes, that's why we have those different options up to 400 liters. But the sizing is normally done now depending on how big the school is. So the sizing is never an issue because now depends with how many people are we cooking for. But it is possible to have all these.
Greening of the schools, institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Are there things that you, perhaps you're engaged in meetings, your members of the Association of Clean Cooking?
Yeah.
Are there some policies and legislative gaps that you have seen, maybe nationally or at county level, or something you think, whether it is even budgetary cuts, what would you say?
First, in Kenya, we have the Kenya Clean Cooking Strategy 2020-2028 that there is the focus to get universal access to clean cooking 2020 to 2028.
Yes, okay.
Yes. So there is the focus to have universal access to clean cooking by 2028, which it's a very good strategy and it's a very good thing that the government is focusing on. However, where I see a gap is if we look at the electrification, I think the grid we have about 75%, about there. But then we see that it's only 24% of people in Kenya have access to clean cooking. So you see, as much as there is part of the country is electrified, but we still have a very big gap. 75, we have only 24%. using clean cooking, you see there's a still gap. And 2020, it is not like, it's not far.
Every Kenyan, you need by 2028,
yeah,
and we have 3 years left.
Yeah.
By 2028, every household,
yeah,
every school,
mm-hmm,
every hospital,
mm-hmm,
everywhere there's cooking,
yeah,
should have access to clean cooking. See, when you're talking universal.
Universal is meaning everyone needs to get there.
Yeah, household institutions.
So how realistic is that?
So when you say clean cooking, what do you mean?
So when I say clean cooking, they're either using LPG, they're using electricity, or they're using the improved cook stoves. They're also either using solar as well. However, it's only a very small percentage that currently are using that. We still have a very long way to go until 2028. Will we be there yet? And when you look at the prices of all these solutions that I've mentioned, be it LPG, you know, how much that is costing currently. If it's cooking using electricity, affording these products, they're not cheap. Like for an induction cooker, a Tumbana induction cooker, we are selling it at 32,000, which when you mention it to somebody, hey, we have an electric induction cooker, it's a very good product. It does not consume a lot of electricity, but can you afford that upfront cost? How many of the people can? If we say LPG, refilling the gas, why is it when you go in the rural areas, like how many people are able to afford it? You'll go and in some household and find the cylinders are being, they're somewhere in the corner because they're not able to refill it.
Yeah.
So I think it's an ambitious, it's a good strategy, but probably it's a bit ambitious considering how these solutions are not very affordable.
What can be done,
yeah,
just to make, to accelerate, enhance access and improve affordability?
So I think one of the things is maybe the government need to relook at the VAT and also all the taxations towards the these clean cooking solutions. They need to relook at that. I don't know if it's possible to zero rate it and just make it affordable, but I think they need to just have to bring the cost down.
We are here,
mm-hmm,
trying to access this,
yeah,
but then again our forest cover 10% below,
mm-hmm,
but still people are still using biomass.
That is because they can't afford another
they
solution.
They can't afford it.
Yes.
And these products cannot be accessed.
Do you see how that cycle,
yeah,
like contradicts?
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Because we have a target on planting trees. We have a target on universal clean cooking. However, what are we doing to enable people to get there?
Because a lot of people are still using charcoal.
I think maybe there need to be better coordination of the policymakers. If maybe the Ministry of Energy needs to, there need to be cohesion, like how they work together to come up with these policies. Need to be more coordinated. If then we're having a target on trees, we're having a target on universal clean cooking, how are we making this product affordable to the people?
And then what resources might you require,
mm-hmm,
as an organization so that your work can be more successful, mm-hmm, more accessible?
We need more people to come up and create the awareness that is needed. We need the policymakers to give a better work condition for organizations in the country. We also need funding to be able to push to our markets, because you see, when we are working the last mile distribution, the cost of getting all these things to those that really need them, it's not the cheapest. And even when you look at our model, the way you operate, and maybe you can focus more on the product side of it, we have to imagine, we have to take a product to where? A village in Muranga.
Muranga, you can put in a bus from Nini.
Yeah, imagine in Turkana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Tea Room,
yeah,
it will go.
Yeah. But,
Turkana.
It's not easy and it's very expensive. So at the end of the day, you see organizations are like, we really want to do this. We want to push for to a change in clean energy. We want to do it, but is it affordable to do it? So I think the funding and maybe subsidies. When
do you sometimes get donor funding?
Like now for Turkana, we are working with a partner.
Okay.
Yeah. So at least when those things are funded, it's possible to get them there.
So if they're funded, do they fund access to the product, or maybe they will subsidize? How does it work?
It's mostly the awareness, like bringing people together and educating them on what they need to do.
Find you to be able to reach there.
Be able to reach there.
Create awareness.
Be able to create the
take
awareness.
Take your products there.
Yes. In some incidences, some of them will get a product that they are able to use for them to be able to be good champions. Yeah, but not the whole community. It's just a very small percentage.
Thank you so much. Do you have any final remark?
Please let me talk about our sector. So those that are in the cleaning sector, they are doing an amazing job. People to work together, even when they're developing these amazing policies, so that we have a roadmap on how do we get to achieve this. Because I think the policies are there, but yeah. Now the roadmap on how to achieve, is it there?
Yeah, consistently on this podcast, mm-hmm. We have heard that the policies are there. It is now the implementation, amazing policies.
Exactly. And maybe even when the policies are being developed, let them localize them. Because you find policies are most of the time done by very high level people that is at a national level. But when you go to the local communities, they're not even aware there's a policy on universal clean cooking.
How can they be localized?
One, there need to be awareness creation. You see, does the government ever go in these communities and say, we have plans to come up with certain policies? We want first to have people coming together and saying, these are the problems that are there and these are the solutions that we are proposing. Just engage more engagement even at the local community levels. And probably when that kind of engagement is there, then the adoption hopefully will get better.
Yes.
Because then there is ownership of on how the development was made.
Yes.
You see, it's not like you're imposing something that you thought when you're not at the local level.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot of time to train the communities
now
just
back,
to get them.
Back,
yeah.
Going back rather than having started with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like you're telling them this is what is there rather than can we develop it together, because it takes a lot of time and effort to train them to adopt or even to take action. So, and maybe because they are not involved, they're not even aware of it. So let's start with the community.
That's a powerful demonstration of how faith-based organizations can be catalyst for a sustainable change. Thank you to Pauline Mwangi for sharing the impactful story of Mwangaza Light.
Thank you for listening to the Africa Speaking Podcast. Join us in our next episode brought to you by Twiza Communications in partnership with Forum Sieve. For any comments and views, you can reach us through our website, www.africaspeaking.org. You can also reach us on Facebook, Twiza Communications, or on our X handle, @TwizaComs. You can also write to us on email, info@africaspeaking.org.